I've always wanted my own walk-on music. But actually, that wouldn't be good for me, I don't think. And that's not the reason that we had that. When Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards wrote that song for Sister Sledge, they probably didn't know that they were stating a profound theological truth. For we, each one of us, is a child together of the one true God. We are joined with Jesus through his life and his resurrection. We may be saved as individuals. We might each of us have to make our own profession of faith. We might need our own personal relationship with Jesus. But although we're saved individually, we are saved for community. We are saved to be part of the family of God. And that is why today is such a special day, because we are welcoming a new member into our church family. It's something that Paul certainly understood. As he came towards the end of the letter that he was writing to the church in Thessalonica, 5 times in the passage we've just heard read, he uses the phrase brothers and sisters. In fact, he used it so often that the translators of the version we heard read thought it was getting a bit repetitive, and they changed the words for one of them. But I think they missed the point. Paul wanted to emphasize that we are part of God's family. It's the way he started his letter. He uses that phrase, brothers and sisters, in chapter 1. And if you remember back a few weeks ago when we were looking at chapter 2, it is full of family images. We are the family of God together in this place. And if any single one of us wasn't here this morning, then we'd all be the worse off because of it. Because we thrive together, or we don't thrive at all. Now, I know that all families are not perfect. We don't have to look very far until we find many battling siblings rather than loving ones. There's been such a lot in the papers this week about the Brexit negotiations, and you may well know that Boris Johnson and his brother Joe are on opposite sides of that argument. But it's not just politicians who like to argue for a living who can fall out. It's said that Jack and Bobby Charlton didn't speak to each other for decades. We all know that Noel and Liam Gallagher are just one example of many bands where the brothers who perform so well together sometimes also end up in fisticuffs on stage. It's a story that goes back time and time again. It's a story as old as time. It's a story that goes back as far as Cain and Abel. But it's not how families are supposed to be. It's not how God wants his family to be. My mum knew about these things, and she was very keen that my big sister and I should get along, even though we sometimes found it hard to do so. And she had a way of reminding us of what was expected. She used to say, "Do you want me to have to sing to you?" And we knew that she had this particular song about being kind to one another and every living thing, and that if it got to that point, we were in a bad place. She also used to use similar tactics when I would come home from school saying, "Well, everybody else has got one, can't I have one?" Or, "Everyone else does that sort of thing, why shouldn't I?" She would say, "I don't care what they do. In this family, we do it this way." And I knew that I wanted to be part of that family, and that therefore certain behavior was expected of me. I guess that's what Paul is trying to teach the family of God in Thessalonica. We've been talking in this series of talks about everyday faith, what it means when we go out from this place and live out our faith in our day-to-day lives, wherever that may take us. And we've still got the map over there which shows some of the different places that we all end up in during the week and where we try to be good Christians and demonstrate what our faith is. But Paul comes back at the end of the letter to remind us that what we do as we go out from this place is rooted in what we do together when we're here. When we meet together on a Sunday and we talk the talk, do we actually learn how to walk the walk? Or perhaps to put it more starkly, if a little negatively, if when we meet together we're not able to treat each other right, then what hope do we have to bring the good news to the rest of the world when we go out from here? Church family behaviours matter. And Paul, who is known for all his long sentences that go on and on forever, suddenly at the end of this letter gets very short and direct. Verses 12 to 15 contain 7 or 8 pithy little instructions that he obviously considers important. Firstly, he tells the church that they must love their hard-working leaders. Now we know from the rest of what Paul wrote that he could often be scathing about bad leaders. But he also understood the importance of good order and discipline. The people who help the whole family to pull together as one in one direction rather than being all over the place. As we come to the point where we know that we're going to get a new vicar and we come to the end of this time of uncertainty, I hope we all realise just how hard Alistair and Graham have worked on our behalf to keep the ship sailing in the right direction. And I hope we're thankful for that. And for all the other people who have shown leadership in particular areas of our church life. And similarly, when our new vicar arrives, whenever that might be, then I hope that we will show them the support they deserve. Because they might do some things that aren't what we're used to. They might want to lead us into new areas that we've somehow managed to avoid before. We need to show them the support they deserve. Paul goes on to say that churches need to live in peace with each other. It's an obvious thing, really, isn't it? We are sons and daughters of the Prince of Peace. Jesus teaches us not to cast the first stone. It's easy to say, but it's not always easy to do. We live in a society where people are very keen to tell you about the rights that they have. But actually, we're called to remember other people's rights, not just our own. We need to remember our obligations as well as our rights. We need to understand that the community is bigger than just any one individual and that we should be working for the good of the whole. We need to show each other love, but that's not a wishy-washy sort of love. Paul goes on to warn that the idle and the disruptive need to be admonished. There needs to be some tough love. And isn't that family? Isn't family the place where a few home truths can be told and can be received because people know that they're told in love? I know that David and Deborah, whilst they might allow Frances to wrap herself around their little fingers from time to time, actually will know that sometimes they have to say no means no. Sometimes they will have to tell her what's expected, not just let her do what she wants. Sometimes there has to be an element of tough love. I don't know whether you know the famous panel on the Bayeux Tapestry. It's captioned, "Bishop Odo comforts the troops." But the picture actually shows him with a club in his hand. It's an interesting form of comfort and encouragement. Sometimes there has to be tough love. But sometimes there has to be tender love as well. Paul goes on to say that we must encourage the disheartened. That's what family is. Family is the place where you can go to cry and know that you won't be judged and know that someone will put their arm around you. We need to be that sort of family. Paul says we need to be the sort of family where we help the weak. The sort of family where everyone is part of that family and equally valued, whether they're very young or very old, whether they're in the prime of life, physically very able, or whether they're not. That's the sort of family that we understand is good. That's the sort of family we need to seek to be. Be patient with everyone, says Paul, forgiving faults, rejoicing in successes, not expecting instant perfection. Again, it would be a strange family when they saw a toddler taking their first hesitant steps that pointed and said, look at them, they can't walk. No, we don't do that, of course we don't. We find joy in that. We rejoice in the fact that someone is developing, even though they've got a long way to go. Strive to do what is good, says Paul. Isn't that what family is? Wanting the best for loved ones, not just for ourselves. Feeling that swell of pride when we see someone else succeeding because we love them and we share in their joy at their success. It sounds good. It is good. But it's also hard. How do we manage to do this? Well, Paul goes on to talk about what needs to happen when we meet together to worship. How we start to see people as God sees them. What we need to do when we meet together so that when we go out, we can bring honor to God. He starts by saying, rejoice always. Well, it's perhaps easier said than done, isn't it? Perhaps we've turned up here this morning not feeling like rejoicing at all. But actually, he says, we need to try. There's no place for gloomy worship. We are the people of the good news. And we need to understand that good news, and we need to pronounce that good news. How do we do it? By praying continuously, he tells us. So literally, that means that in all our services of worship, we have prayers of intercession. But it's also about an attitude of prayer, constantly trying to listen for what God might be saying to us, constantly trying to see the world through his eyes. And as Paul goes on, he points out that this means giving thanks in all circumstances. And again, perhaps we take a step back and we say, really? All circumstances? But actually, I guess it's about where our fundamental attitude is. Are we the people who want to see the worst all the time? Or the people who are looking to count our blessings? I was looking back over the news stories for this week, and many, many of them were all about the mess that is the Brexit situation at the moment. And it would have been easy to get downhearted. But actually, on Friday night, I also saw some of children in need. And I saw a nation that still has hearts of compassion, a nation that digs deep when it sees those who are weaker than themselves and are in need of support. We can find things to be grateful for just as easily as we can find things to complain about. We need to have the right attitude. We need to be moving forward as the people of God, though, as well. Paul tells us not to quench the Spirit. It means we have to expect the Spirit to be at work amongst us. We need to embrace the unexpected as we worship our God of surprises. But he says, don't be naive about this. Don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test all of them. And then he boils it down to something that sounds very simple. Hold on to good, reject evil. And perhaps our initial reaction is, sounds simple, but it's a lot harder than that. And yes, that's probably true. But you know, sometimes it is just as easy as that. Taking a step back, wherever we find ourselves, and saying, where is God in this? Where is the good? What do we want to affirm? And what are we called to stand against? Still sound hard? Well, I guess it is. But Paul has a promise for us. He reminds us that God can and will help us to do all of this, and that his promises are sure. As we think about families, I guess we know that all too sadly, many families can be destroyed when bonds of trust are breached. But that's not the family that we belong to here. Our Heavenly Father will never let us down. We're in this together, but we're in it with the God who can be trusted. Paul's in it with us. All the saints are. And Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, pray for me. And he prays for them. And I guess if it's good enough for them, then it should be good enough for us too. So let us decide this morning always to build each other up in 1,000 practical ways, but also in prayer. Just take a moment to have a look round. Remember these beautiful faces that are sitting with you this morning. And remember them tomorrow and during the rest of the week. And spare a prayer for them. Uphold them in what they're doing. And if you can't think what to pray, then just use the prayer that Paul uses in his very final words of the letter. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Amen.